good afternoon, everyone. You are listening to Bravo and the Brits, the podcast with a distinctly English take on all things reality TV. I'm with a true hoarder of pastel coloured coats, Faith Richardson.
Oh, but they're just so beautiful.
They are so nice. I can't believe they're both ASOS. They have kind of Saks Potts vibes.
I know, don't they just? I think the yellow one was Topshop, but I bought it on ASOS. I can't remember. But it's like the mint green one's like a vinyl, and then that like yellow one is almost like it feels like cashmere. Like it feels so expensive, and it was like £60.
I do have to ask you though, re the vinyl, does it make weird noises when you move around and sit down?
It doesn't. It's that rare kind of vinyl where it seems to just kind of slide over the top of itself.
Oh God, that's good.
I know, because that was my main thing. I got it and I was like, oh God, please don't creak. Because I've got another one that's like a black vinyl one with like an orange fur collar. And I mean, that one creaks like hell. I love it, but it creaks.
Yeah, I know. I was voice noting Scottish guy the other day, and I was in like those kind of mock leather trousers that I got from Nasty Gal, and then I was sitting on my desk chair at home, and I like moved at one point and it made such an awful sound. But you know, you hold the button down and you release it and it just sends, so it just sent, and then I realized, oh God, that really sounds like I'm just farting mid voice note. And then I was like, is it weird if I point it out? Will he just think I was like change it? And then I just felt like I couldn't say anything about it. I just have to assume that he wouldn't think that I would send him a voice note of that deliberately.
Yeah, you'd like to think that he kind of knows you well enough to be like, she probably would have taken that out if it was...
I don't know. I don't really feel like we're at a point of keeping up appearances, even though we haven't met, which is kind of insane.
That's so wild. I love that, though.
Yeah.
Like, no... I was going to say no boundaries, but not no boundaries.
No, I actually think this is perfect because there's nothing but boundaries at the minute.
And like legally enforced boundaries as well, which is truly the best kind, really.
Like in a way, I'm kind of like, oh, can't you just stay my like internet? I mean, he's obviously not my boyfriend, but like, can't you just be like my internet boyfriend? And then it's just easier that way.
It's truly like the perfect balance of everything. It's like so minimal requirements in like a physical capacity.
I know, and it's like, aside from when we FaceTime on a Friday night, you don't know how awful I look most of the day as I'm just wandering around. It's great.
Oh, I love
a sexy voice anytime.
And I love that, because then you only have to like keep up the visual appearance thing to like a very small window of time, and then everything after that you don't need to worry about it.
Yeah, it's so curated. It's like Friday night at 8:30, I'm like, oh, better put my makeup on, put it on, do my hair, and by midnight I've scrubbed it all back off. It's great. It's really good. It looks like Scotland's gonna open up from July the 15th. So it looks like we'll finally meet July 15th, that weekend. And like, I don't want to put like loads of pressure on it, because I mean, literally nothing's riding on it. Do you know what I mean? If we get off, we get on, great. You know, literally worry about that problem when it happens.
Yeah.
And if we don't, it doesn't matter. Like, it's still been great. It's kept me busy over lockdown. You know, it's been like a really nice kind of experience. But I just think because we've been talking for so long, like there is pressure on it. Like, no matter which way you look at it.
Yeah, there's like almost like a certain level of expectation of like, you've been getting on so well this far that it seems weird that you wouldn't in person, but there's always that like, oh my God, what happens if he's like deadly dull in person and he's just really like sparkly and witty when he has time to think of a text. And I speak from experience, because that is me.
Oh God. Well, I have to say, I went on a date once in London with this guy who was so funny over text, right? He was really cracking me up. I think he was like a scientist, and like, he wasn't the best looking, but I'm not bothered about that. He was like quirky, you know. I was like, we've had this conversation, we love like a quirky guy.
Oh, absolutely.
So I was like, yeah, definitely go for drinks. And we went to Brixton to the market for some like cocktails, and his humor didn't translate at all.
Oh no. Was it like the delivery?
Yeah, it was just like, there was just zero charisma like coming off him in any way, in a funny way, in a charming way, like nothing at all. And then it got to the point where, because this was just when I had moved back after being stuck in Brussels for about 3-4 months after my last, no, after my first few rounds in hospital. Mm-hmm. So I was still pretty like shaken up and I was still on a lot of painkillers and stuff. And I was kind of like explaining what had happened. And then he clutches his chest and he goes, "Ooh, I'm Lou. And my lung hurts because I'm such a silly little girl and I can't take it." And put on this like really high pitched voice. And I was like, what is happening? You know, when you have to like, you like leave your own body and you're like looking down on yourself and you're like, hang on. Is what I think he's saying really coming out of his mouth?
I am horrified. Horrified.
It was awful. I didn't know what to say. And, you know, I'm not easily offended, but no. I was just kind of like, okay. And then he thought that, oh yeah, he tried to like come back with me on the tube. And then I was like, oh, sorry, I have to change here, Northern Line. And then it like, it wasn't even my line. I just got off to wait on the platform for the next one because I was like, I can't just stand on the tube and make polite small talk with this man. But I don't think that's going to happen for this because we've been talking on Zoom like loads, aggregated hours wise. It's a lot.
Yeah, I feel like if you've done the video chat thing, it's easier because you can see how they talk in real time, which sounds wild, but like I know from like past experiences and stuff where it's like you've had people that you've just been texting for ages and it's like so fun, and then like you meet in person or you video chat or you like back in MSN days would go on webcam or whatever and you're like, oh my god, you're like a wet dishcloth.
yeah and like you say, you don't know if they're like crowdsourcing their content to like come back to you with. My only concern is obviously like I think I'm more photogenic than I am.
Not at all. Don't be
silly. Look, I don't think I'm bad looking. Don't get this is not like a sympathy vote kind of thing. But I'm also kind of like, obviously my Instagram, I look great. Do you know what I mean? But then I also have sent him a lot of, we went through a phase of doing like collages of like unflattering photos of ourselves and being like, which one are you today? So I sent him a few. I sent him like a hangover montage. I sent him like a resting bitch face montage. So he does have content of me looking extremely suboptimal. So I'm hoping, I literally said to him, I was like, go back, right? Take a look at those montages. Take a look at my Instagram, and where I actually am is approximately halfway between the two. And then I feel like I'm managing expectations. You know, they taught us that on my business masters, always manage expectations.
I think that's a really safe place to be as well. Like, he's seen both ends of the spectrum. Somewhere in the middle has got to be good.
Yeah, truly. I mean, but also, okay, this might be really weird and it might be just me, but also like how people smell is really important. I don't mean like perfume or smelling bad. I mean like their natural
scent.
Like pheromones, yeah. That is super important. So that's another thing that could go wrong on either end.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a risky game, but I'm sure he'll be fine. I can't imagine him as the kind of person who has lacking bodily hygiene or anything of the above.
No, I'm sorry. It's not about lack of hygiene. People just smell better than others. It's not about like cleanliness or whatever. It's about like your natural scent. It's honestly, do you not know what I mean?
I don't think I do.
Oh my god.
Maybe I do. I don't know. I think it's that thing, like I'm so used to like all my past boyfriends, things like that, because like Greg's the first one I've lived with, so whenever I've been out with other boyfriends, it's always been like out and about and like on dates and things where they've like obviously
fully doused themselves in the perfume equivalent of gasoline.
Always like 1 million by Paco Rabanne.
Oh god, I can't even explain why that's a red flag. It just
it's the true fragrance of a fuckboy, I feel.
It is. It's the siren song. The siren scent. So anyway, long story short, like I'm going to a relative's this weekend to get some like countryside air kind of thing. 15th, hopefully.
It's happening.
We'll see how things go. I mean, yeah, like I say, I think the other reason that it's like pressure is just like, god, it's been so long since I've like shaken hands with someone.
So I literally went into town yesterday because it was so hot, and me and Greg were like, oh, we'll go get one of those like takeaway pints from like BrewDog or whatever. We'll walk down the quayside, it'll be so nice. And I wore like a white denim dress, and it was literally, because it's thick denim, I was sweating. I got like the inner thigh chafe.
Oh no.
I wouldn't even like beer that much. So I got like a third of the way through, and it was warm and flat, and I was over it. And I was literally just getting so irritable, and I was like, I need to go home, Greg. There's too many people and I'm too hot and I just want to leave.
It is so stressful being out and about at the minute, because you're so like conscious about dodging everyone that you don't even enjoy yourself in the moment.
No, it is. It's so weird. It was that thing where it's like I kind of was walking around and I was like, I felt like I couldn't be like this close to other human beings. I was like, I've been in my little suburban bubble for so long, where it's just me in the garden or occasionally in a supermarket, and that's been it. And I was like, oh, strangers, no.
Yeah, and that's why I've been avoiding the quayside, even though, as you know, I literally live right on it, because everyone just flocks there, and it's, yeah, I just didn't really fancy doing that. And well, yeah, beer to go, I'm not massively convinced by. Now, if there was somewhere where I could get a frozen margarita to go, that would be
ideal. This is the thing for me as well. It's like, I love being like out in a beer garden in this kind of heat, where I can have like a nice cold rum or something like that, and I can just sit in the sun. But walking around with warm beer in the heat and the sweat, I was like, I'm over this. It's not working for me.
I've also realized, like you, that I have very little that is appropriate for this kind of weather, just because we get it so rarely in Newcastle. So I'm wearing like wide leg jeans today, but they're full length high waisted jeans. But I'm like, well, at least they're a bit of breeze, you know, with the high wide leg. But I need to get some more like cotton midi dresses to kind of float around in.
That's kind of what I've been doing as well, where I was just like, I go get dressed, and I was like, there is nothing that I have for this weather that isn't just like a cheapy, like ratty old vest and some denim shorts. And I was like, I'm better than this.
Describe my exact outfit today, okay? My outfit today is unhinged. I'm wearing like a cropped black muscle tank top, which is very not me. Wide leg jeans, and then I've got this like loose fitting man shirt, which is like a vintage print, but I can't sell it, or I've decided not to sell it, because it's got the Twin Towers on it, and it just felt a bit like close to the bone. So I'm wearing like my 9/11 shirt. And then I have like a really awkwardly placed blister, which rules out all of my sandals. So I'm in red mock croc stilettos. Like,
wow. I mean, you've really covered everything there, haven't you? Oh, I love it. That's fantastic.
Dire times. Also, apologies if you hear me slurping. It did not take me long to get back to a place of iced coffee every morning. Although I have managed to wangle myself a staff discount at the coffee
shop. Oh, that's incredible. Store,
which is good.
That's always what you want.
Should we jump in?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so we open up with Raven and Karen at a self-defense class.
So I love this, though. Do you know what it is? I've always wanted to do like a kind of kickboxing self-defense kind of thing. Like, once lockdown's lifted, me and my friend have both said we're going to do kickboxing, because I feel like it's a really good form of exercise. But also I love the idea of just knowing that I could like kick the shit out of somebody if it ever came to some kind of life or death situation.
I think that's a really good idea. I mean, I like this because this for Karen is not just the next kind of chapter of her weirdly active journey of post-child self-discovery, but it's actually a response to something that happened to her. So we learn that she was mugged, and she explains in the testimonial that the mugger stole her necklace and that she then hid her diamond ring in her fanoosh.
I love that she referred to it as Never Never Land. And I love that she had the presence of mind, like, mid-mugging while they were clearly taking her necklace or whatever, to just be like, oh, ring off and into the pants. Like, how do you do that so subtly? She needs to teach a class on that.
Well, yeah, so this is the thing. I feel like we were owed more of an understanding of this timeline than we were given, because I don't really see how someone's taking a necklace off your neck and you are able to, like, put your hands down your knickers and sort of absorb
what is a huge diamond ring.
Oh, you know that her pelvic floor is like fully on point, though. She has that energy
every day.
So Raven is so cute, but she has such a like baby voice. She's got this tiny little squeaky voice, and Karen is, I think, giving her terrible advice, right? She's like, yeah, you fight for your life. No, Raven, you don't fucking fight. You run, okay? You run for your life. You don't try and take down like a fully grown person. You're about 60 kilos of just adorable. You're not going to take down a mugger. Like, I'm really sorry. I'm all for girl power, but let's be real.
I know. I always have this thing as well where people are like, I think everybody always thinks that if they're getting mugged that they would like fight for it. And it's just like, I'm just like, no, I'm cognizant enough to be like, if somebody came up to me and was like, give me all your shit, and I'd be like, take it, please. Like, it's a burden at this point.
One of my friends got mugged at my metro station in Brussels. And this was back in the day when there were no smartphones. And he said to the mugger, he was like, dude, can I please just have my SIM? Like, all my contacts are in there. It would be like such a pain in the ass to re-enter them. And the guy was like, oh, yeah, sure. And he like worked together to get the battery out, slid his SIM out. And then they shook hands at the end and he walked off with the phone and my friend kept his SIM. And I was like, that's a fair interaction.
Do you know what it is? I feel like that would also be me. I'd be like, please, there are so many photos on this. I really just need this. I need my SIM card, everything else you can take.
Yeah. I think you'd have to like suss out the situation. But my mum has always said, look, you can replace anything. Just give them what they want. But then now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, but all my stuff is vintage. You can't just replace that.
It's like my wallet. I don't have like a proper purse. My wallet is like a Louis Vuitton card holder that Greg got me for Christmas a few years ago, and it's like embossed with like my name and things, and it's like, you can't replace that shit. I mean, you can, but it's expensive, and this was meaningful.
Well, also like, why, you can't really sell that, so actually it's a good idea to get something monogrammed.
I mean, look, take all the cards out of it, it's fine, there's not much in there anyway, help yourself. Just give it the actual wallet.
Yeah. So I do feel a bit better when Karen says that she brought her a stun gun. That did reassure me.
I was just like, it's hot pink.
Yeah, like, is that legal? Like, pepper spray isn't even legal in the UK, is it?
I don't think so, no. I think we're not allowed to have any, like, weapons of, like, any description, like, whether intentional or not. But I don't really know what...
I mean, people have rifles for shooting and stuff, though.
Yeah, but I think they have to be kept in like a proper like licensed gun controlled thing. But like, because my dad used to have like a hunting rifle. He literally went hunting like once and was just like, yeah, I'll buy a rifle, and he kept it in the garage, and then he sold it. And about a few months after he'd sold it, we got like broken into and burgled. And my dad was like, can you imagine if I still had that gun in the cabinet in the garage?
Oh my God. Yeah.
So terrifying. But yeah, I think we're allowed to have it for like a sports rifle kind of thing. But anything that's like tasers, batons, knives, stun guns, like anything. No, I don't think we're allowed them. But I don't know what America's ruling is. And obviously, I'm guessing every state's probably different.
I feel like in America, they're just like, yeah, whatever, you know.
Anything goes.
I remember getting ID'd for buying... Oh, I got ID'd for buying scissors once. That pissed me off. I've been ID'd for buying like cooking knives before. I've been ID'd for buying Lemsip. And I was like, are you kidding me? And they were like, well, you know, you could get high on this. And I was like, well, please tell me how.
Yeah. What, do you need to take like 15 packets of it?
Just snort Lemsip powder.
I got ID'd buying Red Bull once, and I was literally about 23 at the time, and I was like, are you fucking for real? Like, it's Red
Bull.
That
is humiliating.
It was ridiculous. And yet, on the other hand, when I was like 19, I think, probably even younger than that, maybe like 18, 19, I had a boyfriend who was like super into collecting like vintage like war weapons and things like that. And there was like the Army and Navy store in town, and I like just wandered in, bought a machete, and just wandered through town and like took it home. And nobody blinked twice at it. Wild.
I would say that's a red flag, but I am so that guy.
Really a red flag. Quite a few of my ex-boyfriends have been heavy into weapons, and it's really concerning when I look back on it. Like, I had one that had a crossbow.
Oh God, that's so cool. I'm sorry, I'm just so into like modern warfare and weapons and stuff. I'm just fascinated by them. I think because I'm so not an aggressive person.
Yeah.
everything that's like strange or alien to me just fascinates me. I don't know that I would ever like collect them, because like I'd be too worried that, like you say, you know, you get broken into and it gets used against you or something. Yeah. But I do like reading about them and stuff.
No, I know. And he, like, the one that had the crossbow, his parents had this like incredible like country farm kind of thing, and they had all these fields and shit, so it was literally just like set up like a hay bale thing and just took his crossbow and just went shooting in the field and like aimed it at this hay bale, and I tried to shoot it once and it was so fucking heavy I literally couldn't lift it.
That's kind of impressive and scary. Yeah, I think pepper spray is legal in Belgium. I mean, I remember I briefly had a rape alarm at uni, which I think my mum bought me, but it just used to get like accidentally triggered all the time and it was totally hopeless. I mean, I don't know how it actually would have helped me
in any kind of actual situation. Yeah, I never really understood the premise of them. Like, I don't know if it's maybe to distract them or kind of like alarm them a little bit before, like, and give you a chance to escape. But I don't really see the purpose of them in that sort of sense.
So we then go to Michael and Ashley, and Michael is unpacking some accoutrement for this sort of interview process. And Ashley's like, oh, I'm just really excited to kind of do something for myself, to be, you know, like an independent woman, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, it's commendable that you're going into business with your partner, right? It's not something that I would do. But if you're starting that business with entirely his money, can you really claim it to be an independent venture?
Well, this is kind of the vibe I got as well. Like, she kept saying that she was like doing this as like an independent person and this was her thing and that, but it was his money and he's involved in every process of it. So it's not hers, it's theirs, and possibly more so his, because he's the one that invests the money in it. Like, I don't really understand her logic behind that.
Yeah, or like you say, if he kind of gave her the money and then took a step back and was like, okay, like, I'll come knocking on your door when I want my investment back, then that's fair enough. But he seems heavily involved in the development of it. I mean, he is the theme, he is the brand.
And can I just say, this whole fucking interview scene was so wild, I can't even comprehend it.
Oh, I loved, so Jasmine comes in and she's like, your best friend is yourself, right? And Michael just goes, wow. These interview questions are so strange. The way that Ashley starts asking her about bunions.
Oh god, like, even just the question like heels or flats was bizarre. Then she went into the bunions, and then just out of the left field it was like Katy Perry or Taylor Swift.
Now, look, I think that's important. I think you can tell a lot from someone what their choice is.
Who would you choose?
I think Katy Perry, because Katy Perry has a bit more, I hate using this word, but spunk. Do you know what I mean? Taylor's like very passive aggressive, whereas I feel like Katy would be more aggressive aggressive.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And I think I'd probably pick the same, although I think there's, I don't know who has more songs that I kind of enjoy. I feel like I have about 3 Taylor Swift songs that I like enjoy more than any Katy Perry one, but there's more of Katy Perry songs that I enjoy, because I feel like the rest of Taylor Swift stuff is just drivel.
Yeah, I see what you mean. And I like Katy Perry has sex appeal. Oh my god, do you want to know something absolutely horrendous that I keep trying to block out of my memory?
Always.
When I was like 15, don't ask me why my parents allowed me to do this, okay? I went to school for carnival, which was like a day where we all dressed up as Katy Perry in the Teenage Dream video. Was it? Oh no, the California Girls video. Oh my god. And I wore, get this, a tutu, a tank top, a bra over the tank top, covered in licorice all sorts, a pink wig, and I carried around 2 canisters of whipped cream to squirt from my boobs.
Lou, I have so many questions.
As if neither my mum or dad were like, is this appropriate? None of the teachers said anything. I was walking around all day, literally in my underwear. Well, my underwear over my top. But I saw a picture of it the other day and I was like, oh my god, that's so bad.
I need you to send me this picture evidence, because I can't fully visualize.
I will find it. I've made a note to myself.
I think because I'm so used to you being so kind of like effortlessly chic and like with all your vintage prints and things like that, the idea of you wearing a licorice all sorts bra and a tutu is so wild to me.
Yeah, it was it was a moment in time, I'll tell you that much. Katy Perry is more aligned with me spiritually, I think.
I think so. I think it's a good call.
We have Daryl, who is a walking bandana, and I respect it.
Oh, when he got down and did his dancing, there was so much, so many, there was so many elements of this entire scene that I could not keep track of what was happening in any of them.
I really loved when he was voguing, right? Not only was he voguing betwixt the table and the door in this tiny office space, okay? He was doing it in overalls, like undone overalls. The level of skill involved.
So incredible. I did love him. I think they should have hired him. I don't know who they end up going for, but they definitely should have hired him.
I feel like we might find out next step.
Yeah. I also didn't understand why there was a drink making part of this interview, because I thought the whole role was to be like Ashley's assistant, which is surely just sort of managerial organization, you know, showing up to things where she needs people to show up for. Did not understand why they needed to make a cocktail.
Oh, come on, I would totally abuse that. I mean, I had my sort of, I don't want to call her my assistant because she's not really, but I guess she is because she just helps me in the business. I had her come back yesterday, and honestly, it was so nice to have company again. But then I get really like worried that she's having a nice time, so I end up like making the coffees and bringing them to her, and I'm like, hang on a minute.
Oh my god, I love that though. Do you know what it is? It's literally my the editor that obviously I'm like the assistant for as well, like she's exactly the same. Like she literally takes me out for lunch and she's like, I'll buy your food, like I'll make you a coffee, what biscuits do you want, I'll get biscuits. And I'm like, it's so adorable.
It's really nice. That's how you get people to do great work.
It is. You can't be like a full-on like tyrant and expect people to like perform their best, I feel.
No, or I don't think it works very well in the long run, at least.
No, people just start resenting you and then they just start looking for ways to fuck you over, I feel.
Yeah, and then they like spit in your coffee.
Yeah.
Which in a time of corona is not,
it's just not what you
advised.
Want.
So we transition over to Charisse's place, and I'm really obsessed with the sort of panning across all the different frog ornaments. Frogs are kind of becoming a bit of a theme in my life. So I had a dream the other day that I was the TikTok girl who's raising like 37,000 tadpoles in County Derry. Have you heard about this?
No. Oh my god.
Right, okay. Well, this has been like a whole lockdown thing.
Right.
There's this girl on TikTok who has 37,000 tadpoles somewhere in Northern Ireland, and they got to a stage. So in the dream, my tadpoles, because I was the girl in this dream,
right,
they got to a stage where I was like, oh, I should bring them inside the house. They're old enough now. And then I started like carrying them in buckets, and they were like slopping out of the buckets and going all over the carpet. And I was like accidentally squishing them and trying to scoop them back in. But then as soon as I would put a load back in, like a load would slurm over the sides and back out. And it was just horrific and stressful and loaded with biblical symbolism.
That sounds truly traumatizing. What a horrendous dream.
Yeah, it was definitely one to be filed under the like weird lockdown dream categories.
I must admit, I've been having some wild dreams recently. And tell you what's really strange is I had a dream the other night about the horse that I used to own. And I had a dream where I was like desperately like searching down for this horse. And I was speaking to my dad the next day, and he's like, oh, I had a dream about a horse last night as well. It was like you and the horse and things. And I was like, that's really bizarre. We just got some kind of like family telekinesis kind of thing happening.
Oh my god, do not tell my mother about that. She will lose her mind. She's convinced they have a ghost. And I was like, why? And she was like, well, I started reading that book you bought me on ghosts. Interesting timing.
Fantastic.
Apparently the curtains are moving by themselves and it couldn't possibly have been the wind. Or the cat. Or my father.
Is this her only... her only basis for the ghost is purely just based on the curtains?
Yeah, nothing, no other signs as of yet.
I love this though. I fucking love a good ghost story.
I like it, but I don't buy into it.
Do you not? Are you not a ghosty kind of a person?
I'm not a paranormal person. It's like astrology. I will indulge in it, and I can get into like real sort of holes of reading about it, but ultimately I do not believe.
Oh, that's so interesting. I think you're the first person in a really long time that I've came across who's literally just like, no, it's not a thing.
Really?
Yeah, so many people I know are like super, super into it. And I'm like, yeah, I definitely believe in it. I think I do believe in it, but I also just think I'm such an anxious sort of paranoid jumpy person that the slightest thing can happen, I'm like, ghosts. I'm convinced our old flat had a ghost in it. Like, truly, truly convinced. I would be like, it would only happen when I was alone in the flat. And I would like hear a random whistling like through the house. And I was like, oh, it's probably just wind or whatever. But I was like in the stairwell once and it was like right next to me. And I was like, that's fucking weird. And then I'd always get this weird vibe at the bottom of the stairs. And I'd have to like run past it because it would freak me out so much.
I mean, this sounds very stressful. It was like a day-to-day way of living.
Honestly, it was so awful. There's a few times where I literally thought somebody had broken in downstairs because I could hear stuff moving around. So I'd literally wake Greg up and send him downstairs and there'd be nothing there.
Okay, I don't like that. That's not okay. Very, very quickly, because we are going off on many tangents, but I have a friend who lives in London who went to go and visit her family in America for 2 weeks, and when she came home, someone had been living in her flat. Someone had broken in.
Oh my god, staying there.
Didn't steal anything, and it's actually super sad. I mean, she obviously had to call the police and stuff, and it was just this homeless guy, but she was obviously like really shaken up by it, just the thought of like someone else sleeping in your bed. And
oh no, I would have to throw out literally everything in that flat and start again. So terrifying.
So we learned that Robin and Charisse actually go further back than the other ladies. They were both kind of NBA wags, and we learn unsurprisingly that Robin still has feelings for Juan. They still sleep together, etc., etc.
We spoke about this last week, didn't we, where we were saying, like, we wonder if they still have sex and stuff. We both called it and we said, like, you obviously would.
I don't see why you wouldn't. I mean, especially with someone that looks like that.
I know. I mean, truly. It was kind of nice seeing these two as like a little duo, though. And it's kind of weird to think that they probably go back, like, possibly the furthest out of a lot of the women, because we don't really see them, like, one-on-one very much.
No, and they seem to be like genuinely friends.
Yeah.
And Robin's going, oh, it's not a relationship. And it's like, okay, you're kidding yourself. At this stage, this is all semantics, right? It's just what do we call it or not call it? But actions are one thing, words are another.
Yeah, it's like a relationship and everything except the name of it.
Yeah. We learn that Charisse is ready to call it quits on her marriage and file for divorce. And we find out that she texted him this information.
So, I mean, this got me. I would have thought that Charisse, who was so into etiquette and, you know, manners and all of this kind of stuff, I wouldn't have pegged her as the kind of woman to ask for a divorce over text.
I mean, he must have been really crap for the past 3 years for that to happen, because she seems pretty at peace with it. You know, I think I get the impression from her that it's been like this for so long that she's just kind of detached herself from it. And you can kind of tell in this scene that she's feeling relief.
Yeah, I kind of got exactly that vibe as well. And it is that kind of thing where it's like, yeah, it's sad, but you can tell that she's kind of been making this decision for probably a couple of years at this point. Like, this isn't something she's decided on a whim. This has been like such an ongoing process. So it is kind of sad. And again, like what we said last week, it kind of made me warm to Charisse a lot more than I have at any other point.
Yeah, you kind of start to understand why she was kind of so high and mighty at the beginning of the series.
Yeah, it does make a lot more sense. I did also love Robin's little intuition of like, though, where it's like, oh, treat yourself how you want to be treated. And I think it's such a good mantra. Like, I think so many people forget that and they go overboard, like pandering to the other person. It's like, no, it's about you. How do you want to be treated?
Yeah, I mean, having said that, kind of ironic for Robin to be be lecturing people, but it's always easier to give other people advice, right, than deal with your own situation.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'm like truly one of the best advice givers ever, but I'm flounder when it comes to me.
Your modesty knows no bounds. I would come to you for advice.
Thank you. I like when people come to me for advice. I mean, even if I can't be helpful, like, I like to think that I'm quite a good listener. Do you know what I mean?
I would love to get to a point where people just write into this podcast for, like, general advice.
I would love that. Almost like a little podcast column.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
Incredible. Please write to us with your problems, guys.
Yeah, if you want that. If you want the opinions of two posh white girls, you know,
floundering to be
of service. So Karen and Giselle meet up for a little goss sesh. Karen is going to give Ashley a crash course in hostessing on a yacht. And Giselle says that Katie was possibly on something at Ashley's party.
I feel like this is such a huge accusation to make, and I feel like people throw this around like far too easily. Like, we even saw when they had their girls' night with like Charisse and everything, when she said that she was struggling with her marriage, like Katie was super drunk there, and I get the vibe that Katie, obviously she's like 100 pounds soaking wet, if that. I get the sense that Katie just can't handle alcohol, and I feel like it should be more obvious that that's what it is than just drugs.
Yeah, I don't think she was on drugs. I think she was just kind of slightly messy and drunk, because drinking does give you that slightly like slurriness, which yes, seemed to have. But like, I do know that people in America tend to be a lot more medicated, so it could be, I guess, something that's prescribed that reacts with the alcohol in a weird way, maybe. Like, yeah, I don't get like a coke vibe from her, and I certainly don't get, I mean,
no, I'm the same. Like, I don't think it was drugs. I think she was just a hot mess.
So we meet Sheila, Ashley's mom, and Zachary, her brother. I love the name Zachary for a boy.
Yeah, I quite like that as a name as well. I kind of like the name like Zach as well, like as a shortened version of it. I feel like it's quite like a strong name.
Yeah, although Zach does make me think of Zach Braff. But that's not necessarily a bad thing.
I was going to say, he's kind of adorable.
Yeah. So we learn that her mum took on the roles of both parents. And like, I will just give you a heads up that we do see a lot more of Sheila as William progresses.
I mean, I love that she was just pounding the Patron in the middle of the day.
You have to respect it. Every time I see Ashley's flat, I get more and more jealous.
I know. I mean, it's truly like those views and everything. I mean, it still gives me very bachelor vibes, but I'm not mad about it. Throw in a couple of
songs. No, but you can put your own spin on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I truly love the idea of having some kind of like ginormous penthouse with like 360 views.
Honestly, take that cold chrome finished husk, fill it with House of Hackney and Velvet, and you'll be sorted.
Yeah. Can you imagine? It always makes me really sad when people with so much money and incredible spaces can't decorate them, and they always end up really cold.
Yeah, this was kind of my frustration when I did a bit of work in interiors, because we obviously used to work with a lot of interior designers and just people who are doing up their houses where mm-hmm. money was no object, but so often their taste was so misguided.
I also feel like it's quite an American thing to have like really empty homes. Like later on when we're in Karen's house, I kind of noticed that it seems really bare. Do you know what I mean? Like there's not a lot of personality in them, and it seems to be like a running theme. Like even when I used to watch like Cribs back in like the early noughties, it was like all these homes were like decorated in this like really extravagant way, but totally void of personality.
Which is so strange, right? Because American antique shops are literally the best, and they're just like mammoth meccas of junk, and you could just do so much with it, and everything is so cheap.
I know, it's like so phenomenal. Like literally when I was in New York with my parents and Greg, like just before Christmas last year, we spent like a full day just like antique shopping around like the West Village and things like that. And the stuff, it was like insane. So it just makes me twice as mad that everybody seems to have the same like gold satin couch.
Jennifer Aiden on Real Housewives of New Jersey, I think, has the worst home in terms of interior design.
God, I mean, I just don't understand it. And it's like, these women aren't that void of personality. Do you know what I mean? There's no...
Yeah. Difference. But I think there's like, there is kind of a housewives cookie cutter style where it's like, people want to look rich.
Yeah, I think that's the thing of like seeming rich. I think one of the few houses that have had just enough personality has been Lisa Vanderpump's, because you can tell it's Lisa's house. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's still extravagant and still very like we are super fucking rich, but it's got enough of her personality. And maybe it's because she's English and it's like an English thing.
Yeah, it's got a bit of that like eccentricity with the swing and the flowers, and it definitely has like a homey atmosphere.
Yeah, it's probably one of the very few like housewives houses where I think I could live in that and I'd be very happy with the decor. Like, I wouldn't need to change it if I didn't have to.
I like that we're just fully biased towards the one Brit.
I know. I was hoping it didn't come across.
Favoritism. So Katie is meeting Karen at a cafe, and the way that she's just perched on the end of this booth is honestly inspiring. Her legs are like fully Vaselined, they're long, they're lithe, they're glistening. Like, the way that she's arranged them just makes them look like endless.
I know. Tell you what did distract me and annoy me though is, and it's such a petty thing, but it's such a me thing, is all the chairs were lined up like purple, cream, and at the end there was just two purple ones stuck next to each other, and it really bothered me.
That is insane that you would notice that and feel the need to comment on it.
I have a really sort of like obsessive kind of nature with things like that, and I'm like, no, if you started it, you finish it.
So Karen shows up and Katie does raise that she's the only person who actually adhered to the dress code at Ashley's party, which was a bit of a subtle dig. Yeah. And she explains that she wants to do a fundraiser for a children's theatre.
I mean, I think it's such a good cause, and I kind of love that Karen stopped her and was like, I know all about it.
I just feel like everything autistic in the States is just like a charity, isn't it? Like, if it's not a literal bank or a digital startup, it just needs to be funded entirely off the backs of housewives buying raffle tickets for like large scale modern artworks.
Oh God, it's so true. Everything's like the, like for arts or for drama or for like stage schools or something. It's so bizarre.
You can trace back like every role in a play to a specific gala dinner.
Yeah. Oh, and I mean, you can tell that for the most part, every woman that's at those galas, like, they're not that fussed about the outcome of it. They just like to know that they've raised money. You know what I mean? Like, they don't care about anybody's journey afterwards as part of that foundation.
It's all about being seen, but arguably better to be seen doing something for a good cause.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Like, if they're going to do something just for the facade of it, at least it's for a good cause and gets some other people something out of it.
Karen turns down Katie's offer to be on her board because she has a single event to plan this year. And she's like, I'm just rammed. There's no way.
I mean, I just live for Karen's kind of like, no bullshit, not a fuck to give approach. Like, I can't even fathom being that sort of like, she's just like, no, no, I'm sorry, no.
We then go over to Giselle, who is on a date, and she's just wearing essentially like a nude coloured tube of fabric and somehow looks better than either of us ever have wearing anything and going anywhere of importance.
She looked flawless. Literally when she got out of that car, I was like, oh, how have you made what is essentially such a basic outfit looks so good.
It's such an objectively not nice outfit as well. Yes. It's just not something that I would ever like okay on anyone else.
No, like if you saw that just hung up or on a mannequin or something, I would be like dragging it. Just like, what the fuck is this?
Well, you would just think it was like an oversized knee support bandage. Yes.
It did have a kind of medical grade quality to it, didn't it?
So she meets with Herman, who is in politics. He seems very jolly and smiley. He's a little keen, but I mean, who can blame him when he's sitting opposite her?
I know. I mean, he's so dorky and adorable, but I also feel like from a kind of voyeuristic perspective, it's really sweet. But I also can fully imagine that if you're on the receiving end of it, it gets a bit full on.
I couldn't cope with the fact that he didn't realise that the oysters came raw.
No.
So, do they do fried oysters?
I think it is a thing, but I think it's a thing that you get at like a Rib Shack. Do you know what I mean? where it's like,
I really don't know how I'd feel about fried. I love oysters. I don't know how I'd feel about fried oysters.
Yeah, I don't know. I've tried oysters a couple of times and I just can't get away with them. So maybe I would do better with a fried one. Maybe my palate's just not as bougie. Fry anything,
yeah. I totally agree with you. Herman is way too clean cut for Giselle. I mean, the fact that he's scared of raw fish is a bad start. He's just totally squeaky clean. And she does invite him to the yacht party. And I mean, okay, he's certainly presentable, isn't he? He's not going to offend anyone. He's not going to kick up a fuss. He'll be perfectly, like, charming and nice. He'll be nice.
Exactly. But I think Giselle's in the money where she's like, we need to work on his swag because he is just like a slightly adorable, bumbly older guy. Like,
yeah. Giselle needs someone with a bit of edge. I mean, you can see that from her ex-husband. He had a lot. He had swag just overflowing.
He did. And I mean, that kind of charisma that you just can't fake.
Oh. I'm thinking about him now.
I truly just love him so much. I do also, it made me laugh because I just thought Herman is probably the kind of name that you would love, though. Like, I know you love, like, an older fashioned name.
Oh, my God. Okay. I need to stop being victimized because I had, like, a Graham moment, a Neil moment. Like, come on now. This happens when you like older men. No, when I think Herman, I think of Herman the German.
Yeah, I think of, like, Herman Munster.
What's Herman Munster?
Oh, my God, have you never seen The Munsters?
Faith, I moved to this country 6 years ago. Apologies. What is that?
It was, like, an American, I think, I don't know if it was in black and white or in colour, but it was, like, it was kind of, like, a sitcom. Like, it had, like, Adam's Family vibes, where it was, like, the dad was, like, essentially, like, Frankenstein, and his wife was, like, the bride of Frankenstein, but they had, like, a werewolf kid or brother or something. It was like a whole, like, family of, like mythical creatures or kind of like monsters. It was so good.
Hang
on. Googling it.
Oh, Monsters cartoon. Because I might have seen it, but it might have been in French. Oh,
like, yeah, like with a different name or something.
Because we had the Addams Family in French, but no, yeah. It doesn't look like it. No,
it was like super old. I mean, it was literally from like the 60s.
Oh God, right, okay.
Yeah.
that explains why I don't know it then.
But yeah, it was like a kind of, sort of like, it became like a bit of like a cult kind of thing. Do you know what
okay,
I mean?
Yeah, I see. Well, I mean, look, Herman, like I say, very sweet, but like also, because this is my other problem with like, older fashion names. You can't sort of like whisper them sexily or like them.
You cannot say that in the bedroom ever.
Like, who's gonna be like, ooh, Herman?
No. Oh, it doesn't work at all.
No, it doesn't work. I tend to just avoid saying any name because I'm too scared that I'm gonna say the wrong one.
I just never say it in general just because I feel like it feels super awkward.
No, or like you're just stating facts.
Yeah. Or as if I think it almost sounds like I'm reminding myself of who you are. Like, I don't know. It's just always felt super weird to be like, oh yeah, like Greg. Like, no, no, it doesn't do it for me at all. It makes me super uncomfortable.
Yeah, there's not much about talking in the bedroom that doesn't make me uncomfortable.
No, same. It's very much a silent effort for me.
Probably the only time I'm quiet and stop talking so much.
It's just not a time for chatting.
So we go to the country club where we have another double date situation going on. Katie is pretending to like playing golf because she likes the buggies and the fashion.
I mean, I really identified with this.
I know. I mean, golf just looks so boring.
I know. It looks so fucking tedious. I have a bit of this vibe with like tennis as well, where I keep convincing myself that I really miss playing tennis and really want to go. But I think what I really want to do is wear a full tennis outfit and kind of prance around a court for a little bit.
Yeah, the tennis outfit is super cute. I remember I got into a really stupid fight with my ex once because he said, okay, get this. Mm-hmm. Golf is the single most important thing you can teach a child for professional success.
What?
Because basically he had this one family friend who's the CEO of some big American company, and he goes like golfing with all of his buddies to like do nepotism, right, basically. And then he's like, yeah, well, you know, if your child is going to succeed in the corporate world, then obviously golfing is a huge part of that. And I was like,
no.
Like, teach your child golf if you want, but maybe
not for that reason.
You make sure that he wants to go into the corporate world first.
I don't think artists are regularly meeting on like the golf course or
to like plan how to not redistribute wealth.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, there is always that saying that like all the good like business deals happen on like the golf course and things like that, which I sort of understand, but it just seems like such a fucking trivial, old-fashioned thing.
Yeah, but was that not like in the 80s and 90s? Yeah, I feel exactly. Like surely we've moved. Society has progressed beyond the need for business deals on the golf course. Surely, yeah. I want to believe that anyway.
I feel like we've evolved since then. I'd like to believe that we've evolved since then.
We probably haven't, though. You're right.
I mean, yeah, it's true.
So Katie conveys that Karen was offended by Ashley's birthday atmosphere because it felt very young, and they decide that this was ageist.
I mean, I don't think it was. I think Karen's just, you know, she's a lady of a certain kind of age, and she has a certain kind of parties that she likes. And to be fair, she was not in her comfort zone.
I didn't even think it was particularly shady when Karen said this. I thought she was kind of just, you know, commenting on it as like a novel outsider.
Yeah, and I kind of thought it was almost more like self-depreciating, where she was like, oh, I was too old for this kind of party sort of thing. I didn't get sort of like bitchy vibes from it.
Nah. We then go to Karen's place, and there are lamps on in the middle of the day in Karen's house, which really, so that was my like cushion on the banquette moment. It just really aggravated me. Like, I don't know if it's for filming or whatever, but Earth Day, hashtag Earth Day.
I really just, I don't understand why, just why, like...
Karen says she's passing like the baton of Potomac society to Ashley if she so desires it and is capable of handling it.
I don't know why she's chosen Ashley out of all of the women. Like, maybe it's because she is so young and Karen kind of sees her as like an up and coming kind of thing, whereas all the other ladies are just happy in their station almost of where they sort of sit in that sort of social circle.
Yeah, I feel like Karen's identified Ashley as a project.
Yeah.
Possibly a substitute daughter as well, because Raven is leaving.
Yeah, 100%. I definitely got that kind of vibe from her.
So we go to the yacht party in Annapolis. I don't know why I've heard of Annapolis before.
Yeah, I felt like I had as well.
It must be referenced in some kind of literature or something, because I was like, oh, I have heard of that place, and I don't know, there was just like in the back of my mind, I was like, oh yeah, Annapolis, of course. Looked really lovely, and I mean, the yacht party genuinely looks quite nice.
I know, I do like a good boat trip. I mean, I'm always a fan of like being out on a boat somewhere. I mean, I can't swim and I don't like deep water, but on the boat is fine.
Okay, I do feel this might be an unpopular opinion that boats are kind of like mid-range restaurants most of the time, but they're priced by a factor of 10 just because they float. And the same goes for like the room standards on yachts.
Oh, yeah.
Having said that, I would obviously not turn down any yacht moments.
I mean, to be fair, I've never been on any kind of like yacht, like luxury or otherwise. It's always been very much like when we've been on holiday, it's like taking a boat out for the day, like with a guided tour sort of thing. But I just find something really relaxing about being on the water, despite the fact that I am afraid of it.
Oh, I love a private boat. We went a few years ago. We were on Lake Austin with my family friends who are half Iraqi, half Texan.
Oh, wow.
And her parents put on like really loud Arabic music. And it was so funny, like all the other boats that were on the lake just left. As we had music,
literally, I love that music so much. Like every time I've been to Egypt or like other kind of like those kind of countries, I love it.
Yeah, and it's so summery. It has such a summery vibe. This was quite a long time ago, and I feel like this was like possibly the war in Iraq was still going. So, like, that might have something to do with everyone just kind of legging it away.
I love that. So amazing. So, I do have to say, in this yacht, I see that Giselle has brought her fringe back, and I wish she fucking wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know what Giselle's doing with that hairpiece, to be honest. She's opted for it again, which is, like you say, just an odd one.
Yeah, it just seems really strange. Like, she's so beautiful without it, and I don't know why she keeps putting that damn fringe on.
Michael turns up in a pirate hat.
Oh, God. I mean,
and Karen is, like, strangely tickled by this, which feels so out of character for her. She's like, oh, Michael, he's so funny. Humor.
I didn't think she had this level of whimsy in her.
Whimsy meter fully maxed out.
I mean, it goes downhill real quick in their relationship.
So they're all kind of mingling, and at one point Karen dobbs in Giselle by mentioning another man that she's dating in front of Herman, which was so mean of Karen, and Herman does take it like a champ, to be fair.
He does. I mean, he has truly the best response that you could hope for when somebody's like, oh, you Mr. Miami. I mean, that's just an intimidating name as it is.
I know, picturing some kind of aggressive bodybuilder.
Yeah, oh my God, that was exactly what I pictured as well.
Katie takes Giselle to the side and apologises for Ashley's party again. I don't know, I kind of feel like it's pretty uncalled for Katie to go and do this whole apology tour, but...
Yeah, it doesn't seem that necessary. It feels like something maybe where you could be like, oh my God, I can't believe I was that drunk. Like, I'm so sorry if I made you uncomfortable, and that would be it. But she's doing it as this really sincere, like, she personally offended them. Which I just don't.
They are kind of acting like she did.
Yeah, I mean, it's the middle seat all over again, isn't it? It's like it's just the wildest things to be taken to heart.
I feel like Potomac is a bit like Beverly Hills in that, especially up until now, the drama has been extremely minimal in terms of what's actually gone on, but then it gets blown out of proportion in this way that's like quite entertaining to watch.
Oh, 100%, 100%. It's like, I don't understand their criteria for what needs a big argument and what doesn't. I'm so out of my depth of it.
Yeah, there's no consistency. It's like a code of moral behaviour that they've come up with. And then just a fashion note, right? Charisse's necklace is like an entire chandelier that's just been pillaged and around her neck. And Giselle is also wearing a really aggressive neck piece. And I just don't understand the combination of that necklace with what is essentially a grey marl t-shirt that's just been extended into a maxi dress. It felt really odd as a combination.
Kind of, again, it's like what I keep saying with all these like women, for some reason, even though this is only like 5 years ago or something, like their fashion feels like it's so early noughties, and I just don't understand why.
Yeah, or 2010s.
Yeah, like I feel
well,
like
I suppose it was 20. Well, yeah. I feel like the 2010s was like 2010 to 2012.
Yeah, and then I think everything after that started to get more modern.
That, yeah, started to get a bit better.
But yeah, I feel like all they're missing is just like a low slung, like wide waist belt, and they would be truly back in the noughties.
Yeah, or just want to, oh God, I just kept thinking about like kaleidoscopic digital floral print scuba tight fitting dresses. It's such a just niche thing to get angry about, but I remember I had so many.
I did as well. They used to like, I could like into them to try and play. And I always convinced myself that they were like super flattering because they were so elasticated, but I mean truly they weren't. Nobody looks good in a banded dress unless you have 0% body fat.
Yeah, unless you're an Instagram influencer.
Yeah, and I just don't understand anybody that can make those like the true bandage dresses, you know, where it's literally like rings of fabric. Do you know what I mean? Where they're almost like layers like stitched together. I just don't understand anybody that can make those work.
I mean, the Hervé Léger ones, the like really expensive ones, because I've had a few kind of pass through my hands as a seller of clothing. Mm-hmm. When you actually try them on, when it's like a super high quality one, they're basically like Spanx. So like they do actually do a lot of the work for you. But if you just get one from like Nasty Gal or Misguided, like it doesn't have that firmness of fabric to like actually make a difference to your shape. It
kind of accentuates everything else.
Yeah. So Michael gets very drunk and attempts to sort of climb overboard, and then he tries to take his trousers off to go swimming, and this is not seen as okay.
I mean, to be fair, like, I got that he was trying to do a bit or he was trying to be funny, but he just took it too far. Like, even I would be like, dude, put your pants on.
Are you noticing a theme with Michael?
Yeah, he seems to be very sexually orientated. He likes to show off quite a lot.
Yeah. And I just wonder what you thought about the preview as well. Because it kind of, it resurrects one of my, oh, wait, have I missed something?
No, I think that was about it, apart from Katie saying, what about a really big clip, which was mortifying.
Oh, yeah, I think I actually blocked that out. Because it was, like, too cringe a moment.
I literally, it's so out of character. It was so off base, and you could tell that she was literally just trying to be really cool in front of Ashley.
So what did you think about the preview? Because it resurrects one of my favourite kind of recurrent housewives motifs of, like, husbands turning up uninvited.
I mean, do you know what it is, right? So genuinely, like, I don't think it needs to be World War III about it, but I do hate that shit. Like, if you're on a girl's fucking weekend, you don't show up. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would be not, like, livid if Greg did it, but I'd also be like, dude, what are you doing? Like, this is my time with my friends. Leave.
But then do you think it's okay when, like, the ladies as her friends start kicking off about it? Because I feel like you would be entitled to be like, dude, come on. But yeah, then if my friends started having a go, I'd be a bit like, that bad? Like, I think I would kind of still side with my partner and be like, come on, I'm just trying to do a nice thing.
I think I would as well. I think it's not their place.
Then you go home and you tell them off in private, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You kind of, like, you just kind of go, oh, well, I wish you hadn't because it's meant to be a girls' weekend. But, you know, it we'll deal with it later. You're here now, whatever. But if all my friends, like, I'm now so uncomfortable because there's a man here. And it's like, it's not just a random man that's wandered in off the street. Like,
this is true.
I mean, I think because it was like, like you say, it happens quite a lot in, like, many of the franchises as well, where it's like, one of the husbands shows up to surprise them, and then all the women are like, I'm just so uncomfortable with a man being in the house now, blah, blah. And it's like, but why? Like, he's literally, like, your friend's husband. He's not there to attack you or rob you or anything like that.
I mean, it's not like he was getting his trousers off to, like, display the goods.
Oh, God, I know. I mean, yeah, I think they classically overreacted. But it's what we expect from them.
It's what we want from them.
It is what we want from them. Oh, God.
I'm not coping well with this hiatus, by the way.
No, I'm not either. I felt so lost last week. Like, this weekend felt so bizarre not having to, like, sit and do our podcast and watch the episode. And I was like, I felt like that, you know, the favorite Roni gif where it's Ramona sobbing into Alex McCord, and Alex is just like, get the Pinot Grigio, please, just go.
Yeah, I was really like, wake up on Sunday, and I was like, oh, guess I'll just go into the office and just do what I need to do, you know? And it feels like we haven't done a pod in months.
I don't understand how it's only been a week. I truly don't. I mean, it's just bizarre to me that it's only been 7 days since we last podded, because it feels like forever.
This just adds to my theory that time is increasingly elastic.
Do you know, I think it's a perfectly valid reason, because it does just truly feel like now that the more, like, lockdown has gone on as well, I feel like time has just become like a fucking myth at this point.
You know what? Time is going very quickly for me at the minute now. I think when the weather was bad, it was very, very slow and I was finding it very difficult. And now I've gotten into quite a routine where, especially like having Anna with me yesterday, it was so nice to have company, and it made the day go so quickly. And now I'm kind of exercising in the evenings for an hour. So I've kind of managed to now fill my day, and I'm not drinking in the week, which I hate for me. But at the same time, like, I can't deny that it doesn't make me feel so much better to not drink in the week. So, yeah, I think I've kind of hit my stride with it a bit now. And because I know that, like, everything is kind of coming towards the end, and like July 15th, things will be back to normal a bit. I might even get a bit of romance in my life, you know, because that I've missed dating. Like I'm not like desperate for a relationship, and I'm not like wanting a boyfriend necessarily, but I miss like the process of like doing that and having that excitement and having that like exchange with people.
Yeah.
So I think now I'm kind of feeling quite good. What I'm worried about is obviously like some rogue second spike, and then we all have to go back into lockdown and I won't have had time to like cuff someone.
I mean, that truly would be a worst case scenario, wouldn't it? It would be like dangled tantalizingly in front of you and then just like swiped away again, like no, not yet.
Yeah, like what if as Scotland comes out of lockdown, England goes back into it?
Oh my god, can you imagine? It would be
at that point I'm just like trafficking myself across the border. I don't even care.
Just become an honorary Scottish person for a while until it all settles down again.
Yeah, I mean technically my half sister lives there, so I could just go and stay with her, but
yeah, exactly, you see, it's all fine.
Make sure that you like and subscribe if you enjoy this podcast. Do leave us a little review if you so desire it, because that will help us go up in the rankings. It's really nice getting so many new followers on Instagram as well. You know, I just see them rolling in every day, and we'll try and be a bit more active on it as well. But it's really cool. So thank you for all of the support that you've shown so far. You can follow Faith on Instagram at Faith_Elizabeth with 2 H's in the Faith, and just take a look at her wardrobe. Honestly, it's like such fashion goals, but you will end up spending a lot of money if you navigate to ASOS immediately after. So that is my disclaimer and my warning for Faith's Instagram. You can check out her writing work on her website at www.faithrichardson.co.uk. You can follow me on Twitter at Louisa G. Rogers, and you can check out my work at louisarogers.net.
So, did you manage to get to see your dad at the weekend or speak to him or anything, with it being Father's Day?
So, yeah, we did Skype, and he told me that if I'd have had COVID, I'd be in a coffin.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, cool. So you literally thought.